بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. My dear respected brothers, elders, محترم بايو دوست بزرگو, every Wednesday we've been having a short nasiha about the importance of the tilawah of the Qur'an, recitation of the Qur'an, and developing a bond with the Holy Qur'an, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. MashaAllah, it's very nice to see in the month of Ramadan, people pay a lot of attention and give a lot of time and devotion to the tilawah of the Qur'an, recitation of the Qur'an, but as soon as the month of Ramadan finishes, people just lose connection altogether. Sometimes, if some kind of calamity or difficulty may befall a person, then they pick up the Qur'an and they recite a few pages, but otherwise dust covers the front cover and people do not even glance into it. One of the reasons that people give is that recitation of Qur'an is difficult for me, and especially our elderly people. When I was younger, maybe I didn't learn how to recite fluently and correctly and properly, so recitation is hard for me. And that's why I prefer to do other acts of worship and I just don't make enough time for tilawah. But unfortunately, this is not an excuse. Because like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in the hadith, مَنْ قَرَأَ الْقُرْآنَ وَهُوَ يَتَتَعْتَعُ فِيهِ وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ شَاقٌ لَهُ أَجْرًا. A person who recites the Holy Qur'an and they struggle to recite the Qur'an and it's very difficult for them, then this person gets double the reward of the one for whom it is easy to recite. So this is very, very important that we, you know, continue this relationship with the Qur'an, not just in the month of Ramadan, but also we continue after the month of Ramadan. Today, just a few finishing points I just wanted to mention. This kitab that I've been reading from, Tilawatul Qur'an by Imam Abdullah Sirajuddin, Rahmatullahi Alayhim. It's a very beautiful kitab, it's a very lengthy kitab as well. I just thought I'd touch on one or two things very briefly, as this will be our last session on this particular discussion. Firstly, some points he mentions about the tadabbur of the Holy Qur'an. Pondering and reflecting and contemplating. You know, this unfortunately is lacking so much in our circles. There's an emphasis on tilawah recitation, but there's not so much of an emphasis on tadabbur and tafakkur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Qur'an that بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم كتاب أنزلناه إليك مبارك ليدبروا آياته وليتذكر أولو الألباب. That this book which we have revealed to you, mubarakun, is very blessed. Why have we revealed it to you? One of the purposes of the revelation of the Quran is ليدبروا آياته. So you ponder and you reflect over the ayat of the Holy Quran. I was listening to a scholar today, Mufti Saeed Ahmed Khan from Pakistan. He has a very beautiful way of explaining certain things. And he was mentioning the four greatest books in which you find all of the secrets of the universe. And the first book he mentioned was the Holy Qur'an. Because Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu used to say, فِيهِ عِلْمُ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخِرِينَ. The inside of the Holy Qur'an is the knowledge of the first generations and the last generations. Meaning all of the ilm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put this inside of the Holy Qur'an. A person has to just unlock it and ponder and reflect. I remember once walking into a masjid in Preston and there was a Iraqi brother from Iraq. And he was an aeronautical engineer. And I remember he was just sitting there with the Qur'an, the mushaf open, and he was just staring. He wasn't reciting anything, but he was just staring at something for 20 minutes, half an hour, just there looking. So then we approached him and said, brother, you know, we introduced ourselves, how are you? And then he explained that he's an Iraqi brother, aeronautical engineer. And he was saying, I'm just shocked at how some of the secrets of, aeronautical dynamics and the engineering, because you can find it in some of the verses of the Holy Qur'an. And a person does tadabbur and tafakkur. So obviously the purpose of the Qur'an is not so that we learn aeronautical engineering from it, but the point is that it has so many secrets hidden inside of the ayat. That's why the great Imam Fakhruddin al-Razi rahimahullah, he wrote his tafsir, explanation of the Qur'an, and he called it Mafatihul Ghaib, the keys to the unseen. And his point was that each ayah of the Qur'an has so much meaning. And the reason why he actually started writing his tafsir of the Qur'an was because he was once talking to some people and he said, I can take out 10,000 secrets from just Surah Al-Fatiha. So people around him criticized him. They said, what is he talking about? How can you take out 10,000 masail from Surah Al-Fatiha? So he took up this challenge and he wrote his kitab known as Tafsir Mafatih Al-Ghayb. So the point is that the Quran has so much beauty. The great scholar from India, Marna Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi Rahmatullahi Ali, he used to say, you know, nowadays we see people come and they say, tarjuma sikadu, teach my child the translation of the Quran. He would say the first way, obviously a person has to learn the Arabic language. Without the Arabic language, you're not going to access the secrets of the Quran. Or it's going to be very, very deficient, very, very limited. You've got to learn the Arabic language. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the Arabic language easy, because Allah ta'ala has mentioned that the Quran is made very, very easy. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ. We've made the Qur'an very, very easy, and the tool through which you can access and learn the Qur'an is the Arabic language. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also made that very, very easy. So you've got to learn the Arabic language. And then he would mention that don't just translate, but rather sit there, read each ayah, and just read it and think, why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying it like this? Why did Allah Ta'ala not choose to say that same statement in a different way? And just with this deep recitation and reflection of the ayat of the Qur'an, a person will gain such a deeper meaning and understanding of the Holy Qur'an. So the point I wanted to mention is this tadabbur, this tafakkur, pondering, reflecting, taking our time with the tilawah of the Holy Qur'an. And he mentions a few points here. He mentions another ayah of the Qur'an, that أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, do these people not do tadabbur and reflect over the Holy Qur'an, or are their hearts, do their hearts have locks on them? Because if their hearts were unlocked, then they would ponder and they would reflect and they would gain so much maza and so much pleasure from the recitation of the Holy Qur'an. And then he mentioned the statement of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu used to say that لا خير في قراءة لا تدبر فيها, that there is no goodness in any qira'ah of the Qur'an which does not have tadabbur, pondering and reflecting inside of it. So many of our brothers will say, well, we don't know the Arabic language, we're limited. So that's fine. We recite, and we, inshallah, the tilawah itself has so much virtue and so much reward as well. But a person should have this intention. How can it be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is my message to you, and a person says, I don't care, I don't want to know what Allah is saying to me. Mujhe main befikr hoon. Allah ta'ala mujhe kya irshad farma rahe hain, main bilkul befikr hoon. I'm not concerned. Bas main tilawat hi kar lunga, bas mere liye kafi hai. And this is why guidance doesn't spread. Shaykh al-Hind Warna Mahmood al-Hasan Al-Hindi Rahmatullahi Ali, great scholar. He was jailed in the prison of Malta. And then when he was released from Malta, he was very old. And he came out and he used to always, every gathering that they would tell him to speak in, he would say that the reason why our people are going through so many problems is because they have lost the connection with the Holy Quran. Not just tilawa, but you know this bond, this nisbah. That Allah Ta'ala mujhse baat kar rahe hai. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu would say that whenever I want to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I do dua. Or I perform salah in two different wordings. That I perform salah or I do dua. That I'm speaking to Allah ta'ala. And whenever I want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to communicate with me, I recite the Holy Quran. Because this is Allah ta'ala addressing me. And if a person doesn't know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, then they're very, very limited. And then he mentions that Sayyidina Hassan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi used to say that إِنَّ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ يَعْنِي الصَّحَابَةُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ عَنْهُمْ رأوا أن هذا القرآن رسائل إليهم من ربهم فكانوا يتدبرونها بالليل وينفذونها في النهار. That the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een used to regard this Quran to be messages from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So at night time they would recite it and do tadabbur and contemplate upon it, and in the morning they would practice upon it. So at night time they would recite it, the meanings would be in front of their eyes, the ahkam and commands of Allah ta'ala would be in front of their eyes, and in the daytime they would implement these commands and these messages of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'll just mention one more paragraph here, is by Imam Jalaluddin al-Suyuti rahmatullahi alayhi, great scholar. He mentions that وَصِفَةُ التَّدَبُّرِ أَنْ يَشْغُلَ الْقَارِي قَلْبَهُ بِالتَّفَكُّرِ فِي مَعْنَى مَا يَتَلَفَّظُ بِهِ. That the purpose of tadabbur and contemplation is that when a reciter of the Quran is reciting, then his mind should be occupied with what is Allah Ta'ala saying. Your mind should be distracted with that. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, it's famous about him. He would, this is one of the reasons why the Masnoon Qira'ah is these short surahs. These short surahs. When people will say this Imam Sahib is always reciting the same surahs, it doesn't change. You know, the Tiwal al-Mufassal and the Awsat al-Mufassal and the Qisar al-Mufassal, that these surahs which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite most of the time. For example, in Isha Salah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite from Surah al-Inshiqaq all the way till Surah al-Qadr. And this was what he would generally recite most of the time. People say these are short surahs. You know, and our people complain about this. The Imam is kafatani, hafiz al-Quran, hey ya nahi. Namaz mein sirf wahi surah padte rehte hain. The reality is, this is sunnah. This is sunnah. And another thing is, these are the surahs which have so much meaning about Allah Ta'ala, about akhirah, about the afterlife. You know, just yesterday we were reciting from our Imam Sahib, Shah Sahib was explaining Surah Amma Yatasa'alun, Surah Al-Nazi'at, Surah Abbas, Surah Al-Takwir, Surah Al-Infitar. All of them have such powerful messages about the akhirah, preparation for the akhirah. When a person reads this, it's like the azab is about to come. It's about qiyamah is about to happen. So these are the surahs we're supposed to read inside of the Fard Salah. The lengthy surahs you can recite other time in your Tahajjud Salah, Nafil Salah, but people just attach all the importance to the Fard, and then we don't have a Nafil habit of performing Nafil Nawafil Salah, whereas Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam habitually used to perform Tahajjud Salah. And then there's Ishraq Salah, and there's Shash Salah, Awwabin Salah. Each of those Salah has so much virtue. Awwabin Salah. A person who performs Awwabin Salah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, they receive the reward of 12 years of ibadah. Awwabin Salah. Look at the reward there. You know, Chashd Salah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, you have expressed shukr and gratitude for every single ni'mah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you in your Chashd Salah. And Chashd Salah is more rewarding than if a person received mountains of gold. So much reward. Salatul Ishraq, the person who performs Salatul Ishraq, it's as if they have an accepted Hajj and Umrah. So much reward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed, but unfortunately we're negligent about these things. And we think, oh, Fard Salah ho gaya bas, you know, it's done. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention? وَمَا يَتَقَرَّبُ عَبْدِي وَلَا يَزَالُ مَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ. That my servant continues to do nafal actions until I start to love him. فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ كُنْتُ يَدَهُ الَّذِي يَبْطِشُ بِهِ وَرِجْلَهُ الَّذِي يَمْشِي بِهِ. And the hadith continues that when my servant does nafal actions, then I become beloved to him. And when I become beloved to him, then I become his hand through which he touches, his eyes through which he sees, his ears through which he hears. So we have to have, you know, these nawafil salah in our life. And we have to work towards creating this, you know, this meaningfulness in our tilawa. And that is going to happen through tadabbur and tafakkur. There's no other way. You can just do tilawa for years and years and years and years. You'll be the same person you were 20 years ago. You will try it for 20 years. You're going to be the same person. Because tilawa is beneficial and is very, very important. But you know, the messages of the Quran which are supposed to change your life, how are we going to know them and understand them if we do not go via the channels to try and access them? The minimum we can do is sit in the gatherings where the tafsir of Quran is taking place. It's the minimum we can do. And make notes of it. You sit there, it's a bayan and I go home. Make notes of it so a person knows. And one of the things our Shah Sahib, Hafizahullah, is doing, trying to explain that every single surah in the Quran has these particular themes and messages. So a person gets a brief overview. But we should take this more seriously and we should start to practice upon it. And we should go officially and do it properly, not just get an English translation of the Quran and read it, because unfortunately then a person can misunderstand. That's why it's important to go through the channels, trying to learn Arabic, sit with the scholars who mention the tafsir of the Quran, explain the Quran to us. And finally, I just wanted to very quickly mention some of the virtues of certain surahs of the Quran. And I think I mentioned the other day about Man Aashiq Ilahi Bulan Shahri Rahmatullahi Alayh, that he would habitually, every day after Fajr Salah, he would habitually read his Yasin, Surah Yasin, he would never miss it. After Maghrib, he would recite his Surah Al-Waqi'ah, he would never miss it. After Isha Salah, he would recite Surah Al-Mulk, he would never miss it. And he had such punctuality upon these. And many of the great scholars, I read it about his ma'mulat and his habits recently. The point is that certain surahs in the Quran which are very great in virtue. The whole Quran is extremely virtuous, but certain surahs have specific virtues that we should benefit from. For example, Surah Al-Ikhlas, Surah Al-Muzammil. So he's mentioned a few surahs here, and I'll just very quickly mention a few points inshallah, and then we'll finish there. So he mentions about Surah Al-Fatiha. The Surah Al-Fatiha is also known as Surah Al-Munajat. the surah of Munajat. Munajat is a conversation between a person and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in the famous hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that when a servant recites an ayah of Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to it. When a servant says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah ta'ala says, Hamidani Abdi. All praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says, my servant has praised me. And then the servant says, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Allah ta'ala says, Majjadani Abdi. And then every ayah of the Surah Al-Fatiha that a person recites, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to it. Hence this is Surah Al-Munajat. It's a conversation. What is Munajat? The Arabic word Munajatun from Bab Mufa'ala. Two parties are engaged in a conversation. Sargoshi, you know, like a quiet, private conversation. This is Munajat. Surah Al-Fatiha is known as this. Surah Al-Fatiha also, many virtues have been mentioned, that it's also known as Surah Al-Shafiya. Now Surah Al-Ruqya as well. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed shifa inside of Surah Al-Fatiha. And ruqya, it's a means of cure for illnesses. And there are many other virtues which have been mentioned. So Surah Al-Fatiha, a person should not take it lightly. I recited every single namaz. So Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Rahman, Rahim, Malik, Yawmiddin, Iyyaka Na'budu. Rather, we should ponder and reflect over each thing that I am. This is a conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the end of this, I'm going to make the greatest dua possible. And I want Allah ta'ala to accept this dua. The ihdina al-sirat al-mustaqim. It's the greatest dua you can make. That's why Allah Ta'ala has made it necessary for us to recite this inside of every salah. That's why we have the famous hadith, لا صلاة لمن لم يقرأ بفاتحة الكتاب أو بأم الكتاب. That there is no salah upon someone who does not recite Surah Al-Fatiha. Allah has made it necessary for us. Why? Because we're asking for the greatest thing possible. Firstly, we're praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the most beautiful way possible. And then we're asking Allah Ta'ala for the greatest thing possible, which is hidayah. And when we're asking for hidayah, we're asking very specifically. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. Give, O Allah, guide us to the path of those people you have favored. Meaning keep us with the pious people. Guide us on the path of the pious people, the track of the pious people, and save us from those upon whom your anger is and upon whom you have misguided. So this surah we can benefit from. We can recite it in our salah, we recite it, but we should ponder over it, we should reflect over it. And then he mentions about Surah Al-Baqarah. The Surah Al-Baqarah, Sayyidina Ma'qil ibn Yasar radiyallahu anhu, he mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, Al-Baqaratu sanamul Qur'ani wa zirwatuhu, nazala ma'a kulli ayatin minha thamanuna malakan. That the Qur'an, the Surah Al-Baqarah is we can say the most important part of the Qur'an, or the peg or the pillar of the Qur'an. That with each ayah of the Surah Al-Baqarah, 80 angels came down. 80 angels. وَاسْتُخْرِجَتْ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْحَيُّ الْقَيُّمُ آيَةُ الْكُرْسِي مِنْ كَنْزٍ تَحْتَ الْعَرْشِ فَوُصِلَتْ بِسُورَةِ الْبَقَرَةِ. And this ayatul kursi was taken from a treasure from underneath the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it was joined onto Suratul Baqarah. So this is a special virtue of ayatul kursi as well. And then وَيَاسِين قَلْبُ الْقُرْآنِ لَا يَقْرَأُهَا رَجُلٌ يُرِيدُ اللَّهَ وَالدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا غُفِرَ لَهُ اقْرَؤُوهَا عَلَى مَوْتَاكُمْ. رواه الإمام أحمد. Imam Ahmad rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned about Surah Yasin. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that Surah Yasin is the heart of the Qur'an. Whoever recites it intending Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning whoever recites it with the intention of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and attaining the best of the akhirah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will surely forgive him because of this recitation. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that recite it upon your deceased ones. Those who pass away from you, recite it upon them. And there are many other virtues which have been mentioned. And for example, he talks about the last 10 verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, that Imam Ad-Darimi rahimahullah has narrated a hadith from Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, مَنْ قَرَأَ عَشْرَ آيَاتٍ مِنْ سُورَةِ الْبَقَرَةِ فِي لَيْلَةٍ لَمْ يَدْخُلْ ذَلِكَ الْبَيْتَ شَيْطَانٌ تِلْكَ اللَّيْلَةِ أربع آيات من أولها وآية الكرسي وآيتان بعدها وثلاث آيات من آخرها لم يقربه ولا أهله يومئذ شيطان ولا شيء يكرهه ولا تقرأ على مسروع إلا أفاق. The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, whoever recites 10 verses of Surah Al-Baqarah every night, then no shaitan will enter that home that night. The first 4 verses of Surah Al-Baqarah And then Ayatul Kursi, and three ayahs after Ayatul Kursi, and then the last three verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. Whoever recites them every night, لَمْ يُقَرِّبْهُ وَلَا أَهْلَهُ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَيْطَانٌ. No shaitan, no devil can come close to that person, nor their family members. وَلَا شَيْءٌ يَكْرَهُهُ. Nor can anything which the person finds displeasurable, anything that he dislikes, will come close to that person. وَلَا تُقْرَأُ عَلَى مَصْرُوعٍ إِلَّا أَفَاقًا. And if someone has fallen unconscious and you recite these verses over that person, then this person will wake up from their unconscious state. So one point I'll just mention here as an additional point, these verses which we have, which are known as the manzil verses, very powerful verses. My dear brothers and elders and my sisters listening, these manzil verses every Muslim should recite daily. The other day, our Murna Muhammad Ali came from Dewsbury and he said to me, do you read Manzil daily? So, you know, people nazar, and I said, Alhamdulillah, I read it, every, you know, sometimes twice a day. Just when I'm walking with my daughter, putting my daughter to sleep, I'll read it, I'll blow on her, blow on myself, blow on the family members, blow on water. A very, very powerful ayat. Imam Shawaliullah Ad-Dihlawi Rahmatullahi Alayhi compiled these ayat initially, and then Shaykh Zakariya Rahmatullahi Alayhi then popularized them. That these verses of the Quran, they have shifa for every illness and they have a relief from every problem. All of the most powerful ayat of the Quran are there in those manzil verses. So we can even download them on our phones, on the app store, this and that, or you can buy the book, and we should read it daily. By morning, you should have memorized it. Should read them so much that we should memorize them. By morning we should read them, by night we should read them. Should read them and blow on our family members, blow on ourselves and our loved ones. Blow on water, drink that water. It has so much effect. You know, even Quran water, pious people say Quran water has a lot of effect. It has a lot of effect in terms of spirituality and piety. So, because it mentioned these verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, they're all there in the manzil verses. Every verse of Surah Al-Baqarah mentioned here is included inside of the manzil verses. And then we have many other powerful verses of the Quran which are mentioned. So we're not going to get through all of this, inshaAllah. So we should, inshaAllah, build this relationship with the Quran and sit in the gatherings. Mawlana Shaykh Zakariya Rahmatullahi Alayhi has written Fada'ilul Quran. And it's Fada'ilul A'mal, very beautiful discussion on the virtues of the Qur'an and on the importance of building a relationship with the Holy Qur'an. We should recite this. Remember one thing, my dear respected brothers and elders, we have to have the company of pious people. Nek logon ki sohbat. Mufti Taqi Uthmani Sahab Hafidhahullah, he mentions, nowadays it's not always possible, maybe in your vicinity you can't find a pious person who you feel comfortable with. Well then, read the books in which the lives of the pious people are mentioned. That's the alternative. Should have one or the other. Imam Abdul Rahman ibn al-Jawzi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions, someone who studies too much fiqh and masail and laws and rules of the Quran, it hardens your heart. Your heart becomes hard. And that's why you have to read the stories of the pious people to soften your heart. So the stories of the pious people have a great effect on softening a person's heart, creating this motivation, this desire inside a person. Otherwise a person thinks, you know what, main jo kuch kar raha hun wo theek hai. But when we read about the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the pious predecessors, how they lived their lives, then we realize, you know, how far away we are from the levels that they were on. And then a person works harder, strives harder. So that's why we should read the lives of these pious people. And it motivates us and it helps us connect and helps us develop a bond. So I was saying, we should stay in the company of the pious people, and if we can't, we should read their books. So I was mentioning about this Fada'il al-A'mal. We should have these books that we read on a daily basis from which we gain motivation. So many books, subhanAllah, we have. A person doesn't know which books to read, they can come to me, we can suggest some books as well. That read it so you have a daily motivation before you go to sleep every night, or you know, a certain time in the day. People, we have a habit, everybody's on their mobile phone now. People have free time, what do? If you're interested in houses, they're looking at houses. You know, past ghar bhi hai, makan bhi hai, they're happy, but they're just scrolling houses. This house, old, because they've got free time, they don't know what to do with it. Someone who has a passion for cars, free time, he's just checking cars. Someone who has a passion for shoes, his free time, he's checking shoes. Passion for mobiles, free time. Jiska jo zok hai, jo shok hai, jo farigh waqt milta hai, usme wahi dekhta rehta hai. Zameen ka shok hai, bas zameen, Pakistan mein zameen kitne rupiyon se becha ja raha hai. You know, they're just checking that. Honestly, that's what people are doing now. Women have a passion for clothes, free time, they just, what sales are on. They're not going to buy anything. But this is like pleasure for their eyes, and you know, it's satisfying their nafs, just looking at those things. Unfortunately, this is the case. So use that free time in which shaitan says, go and look at the things. And everybody, some people football, this score, they'll find out the score of the most irrelevant team in the whole history of football, Barnsley or Bardsley or whatever it is, this team played and this is the score. Because they're just so obsessed, and this is in their free time, their nafs says, you are interested in this. And this is how shaitan tricks us as well. That shaitan and nafs know your weakness. This person's weakness is football. Whenever he's got free time, just push him in that direction of football. This person's weakness is cars. He just enjoys cars and, you know, different engines and different systems, whatever. Free time, push him in cars. He can waste 4, 5, 6 hours just looking at cars. Every second is fudul, wasted. Every second is ghafla and negligence from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's use that free time reading the lives of pious people. It's enjoyable. Trust me, when a person becomes addicted to this, reading the lives of the pious people, it's an addiction. And you can just read and read because it's so mazedar, there's so much pleasure. Okay, maybe you can't read about Masla Masail, and maybe you can't read about these advanced things, but you can read about the pious people, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's seerah, and the seerah of the Khulafa al-Rashidun, and the seerah of the Sahaba, and those who came after them. We will benefit so much, and we will get so much closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that journey. Everyone ready to do this, inshallah? Allah ta'ala gives all the tawfiq, subhanallah, subhanakallah, alhamdulillah, astaghfirullah.